Jenny Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. Make yourself at home. However you're arriving to this podcast today, I'm thankful that you're here. In today's episode, we're going to be doing some scripture meditation around another one of the stories of Jesus. But before we do that, we're going to do a slowdown and centering practice, our good and favorite one, some deep breathing. So wherever you are, just join along with me in your own pattern, in your own way, and take a deep breath in through the nose. Deep, deep into your belly, hold it, and then slowly exhale through your mouth. Again, inhale, hold it, and exhale. One more time, inhale, and exhale. You know, you can do as many of those as you would like. So if you feel like you need a few more, go ahead and keep deep breathing for a little while. Today, we are going to be reading out of Luke 12. If you'd like to follow along, go ahead and get your copy of God's Word. I'm going to be reading out of the NASB version, but you can read out of any version that you would like. I'm going to begin with just a short portion, just the parable section of what Jesus is saying. So we're going to focus and meditate on that part first, just a short story. Go ahead and listen. Remember, as we meditate, we're paying attention. That's what meditating is, paying attention, dwelling, noticing, turning over and over. So that's what we're going to do together today. The words of Jesus and what his story is telling us. Now, the stories that we're focusing on in this season, in the Tell Your Story season, are the stories of God's kingdom. So most of his parables have to do with stories about the kingdom that he's bringing here to earth. So I'm going to begin in verse 16 of chapter 12 of Luke. Listen and see what you notice. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Okay, that was short and to the point. I would love to know what you noticed on this first go-round. You know, I have a lot of friends who are homesteaders, and maybe they relate to the whole crop language. But I wonder if we were going to transpose this parable into today's language, maybe we wouldn't talk about storing up crops in barns. I don't know that there's a ton of people who really relate to that. There are some. How might we think about that? What would it look like to store up our treasure? And what do you think this man's motivation was in storing up all of his crops? What do you think Jesus's motivation was in telling this story? Well, now we're going to dive a little deeper and pay closer attention, not just to the story itself, but to what happens before the story and what happens after the story. As a student of Scripture, I think it's very helpful to know that all Scripture is God-breathed, Spirit-breathed, and He brings anything to life. But if you're going to take a verse out of context, you may not get the whole thing. And that happens a lot. One is Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That can be used for a lot of prosperity language. But do you know what the context of that verse is? God is talking to the Israelites who've been cast out of their home country and are now living as refugees in another country. That puts that into a different light, doesn't it? So let's take the little part that we learned about just now. In the whole context of what Jesus is talking about and of what Luke writes before and after the story. So this time, I'm going to start at verse 13. And this time, notice what stands out to you. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive." And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, that gives us a lot more to go off of, doesn't it? This time as you listened, what did you notice? What stood out to you? What do you think that God is trying to teach us about his kingdom? I would love to know your thoughts. Please feel free to share them with me over Facebook or Instagram or in today's show notes. But I'm going to share with you a few of my thoughts as I was reflecting on this passage. You know, in all of his stories, Jesus is trying to show us the way of his kingdom, and almost always it contradicts the way of the world. You know, what comes naturally to us humans is to make sure that we have things. You know, on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the very basic things we want the most, right? Like shelter, safety. But a part of that comes through money, right? Like we feel like we need money in order to survive. We feel like we need more. And then when we get that, we want the next level. Like we want more and more. And what that really has to do with is a scarcity mindset, doesn't it? Like maybe I'm not going to have enough. So I have to make sure I can store enough away to have for later. And then when we get past that point, it probably does become more like greed. Like now I'm dreaming bigger and I want bigger and better things. So this small barn isn't going to work anymore. I need a bigger one. And God's kingdom is not about a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset means I have to take care of myself. His kingdom is about dependence, about looking to him to get our needs met, about paying more attention to his kingdom and his ways and his abundance than we do to scrounging around to save ourselves or to build up our stock market portfolio, et cetera, et cetera. Now, some of you may be listening from other countries, but I'm speaking specifically to Americans. I think the American dream probably goes against this dependence on God, doesn't it? Like, happiness, according to the American dream, is that you can work as hard as you want to get your own things so that you can have at least as much as your neighbor and maybe even more. There's always more right around the corner. And God is saying, my kingdom is different. In my kingdom, pay attention to what you're treasuring. If you're spending all of your energy treasuring money, treasuring what you have, then you're probably not having enough energy left for the things that I would like you to be paying attention to. Can you imagine in a household if little kids were having to provide for themselves, right? And the parents didn't really take care of them. And they were in a scarcity mindset of having to go out on the street and scrounge around to get what they needed. In a way, I think of this like that. God is our Father. He says so. He wants to take care of us. And he will take care of us, he says. He will take care of all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But if we're going around trying to scrounge our own stuff and trying to store it away, then probably our attention is not where it needs to be. And we're in a probably survival mode kind of place instead of a resting and abundance kind of place, abiding. And the other point that Jesus makes in his story is, for what? What are we storing it up for? Because nothing is guaranteed, right? What if you spend your whole life working overtime to save up money to buy a condo that then gets burned down in a fire? Or you end up dying of a heart attack at the age of 60 and didn't get a chance to spend it all? What then are the things that do matter, that do pass on, that are not going to rust or to get destroyed or that we're going to die and not be able to enjoy? What are the bigger things? What are the things of his kingdom that we could be sowing into and paying attention to rather than that scarcity mindset? And what does an inheritance look like that we're trying to pass on? I'm sure there's so much more that we could glean out of this passage, but I'm going to let that be all for now. And now that we've thought through some of this stuff, I want to read this passage one more time. You guys know I usually do three times. That helps us meditate, come back to, think about, and come back to again what he says in his word so that it really sticks, so that it gets down in there deep, not just like we did a flyover, but we got closer and farther down in each time. And this time, as we read back through it, notice what stands out to you, what you want to carry away today with you as you go throughout your week. I'm starting again at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive." And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?' So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there you have it. Where's your treasure, friend? Where's mine? You know, I think we have to recalibrate that pretty frequently, don't we? Because naturally, we'll go back to the preset, to the things that we're hearing in the world around us, to that scarcity mindset. But as we come to Scripture, as we spend time abiding with Christ and in His Word and with His Spirit, He recalibrates us to realize what abundance looks like, His abundance, that we don't have to worry. He will always provide. So as we go out throughout this week, I hope that we remember this and that we ask God to show us and teach us more about seeking His kingdom. Well, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.